And welcome back. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. Jaylen Russick, our theater critic, is with us here in Studio A. Good to see you, Judy.
Good to be here, Tom.
So we're going to talk about Anastasia. That's down at the Hippodrome here in Baltimore. So this is a musical, but it's based on a movie. We talk a lot about musicals based on movies.
Yes.
This is an animated movie, but the movie is actually based partly, at least, on history, right? So is the plot of this musical, is it closer to the movie or to what actually happened in history?
Well, the movie with a little more history thrown in. The program actually says that the show is inspired by the 20th Century Fox Motion Pictures, two movies, the 1997 animation that you referred to, and a 1956 movie, lovely movie, that starred Ingrid Bergman, Yul Brynner, and Helen Hayes. The musical and the movies are based on the legend that when the Bolshevik revolutionaries murdered Russia's royal family, the Romanovs, back in 1918, the Tsar's youngest daughter, Anastasia, may have survived. Now, in both movies and the musical, about 10 years later, two con men in the current incarnation, they're called Dmitri and Vlad, they try to find someone they can pass off as Anastasia. There's a lot of money involved if they can convince her grandmother that she's the real deal. They find an amnesiac young woman who just may be the real thing. The script for the musical is by Terrence McNally, and he introduced a bit more historical context. This primarily takes the form of a new fictitious villain named Gleb. He's a Soviet officer. He replaces Rasputin, the evil magician, wizard, and his sidekick, an albino bat, who were the bad guys in the animated movie. Gleb's late father was one of the Romanovs' assassins. Now Gleb is assigned to finish his father's work and to kill Anastasia if she's real. I brought a sample of a song. This is also in the 1997 animated movie. The Russian proletariat is singing about food and shelter being so scarce, they are living on gossip. And there's a big rumor going around. This number also introduces all the main characters, and it sets up the plot.
Although the Tsar did not survive, one daughter may be still alive.
The Princess Anastasia!
But please do not repeat.
It's a rumor, a legend, a mystery. Something whispered in an alleyway or through a crack. It's a rumor that's part of our history.
They say her royal grandmama will pay a royal sum
to someone who can bring the princess back.
All right, so that's A Rumor in St. Petersburg from Anastasia. That's the Broadway company recording of that. So, Judy, you said that that's a song from the movie, right? But the movie was also a musical. So does the stage version, is that of the same score, the same music?
Well, partly. The movie only had half a dozen songs, and most of them are still in the stage show. They're by composer Stephen Flaherty and lyricist Lynn Ahrens. They have added a dozen more on stage. Two of the most mellifluous songs from the movie, the lullaby Once Upon a December and Journey to the Past, which was nominated for an Oscar and became kind of a pop hit, those are still in the show. Journey's in a slightly different spot. The lullaby is especially lovely. Journey, to me, has kind of a generic pop theater sound. Some of the new songs have more pronounced Russian flavor and choreography to go with it. Just before intermission, the action moves from Russia to Paris, where Anastasia's grandmother is living in exile. There's a jazzy 1920s number in a nightclub. I'm going to play one of the quieter new Russian-sounding songs that was written for the stage show. Dmitri and Vlad and the young lady that they're training, that they hope to pass off for Anastasia, she's actually called Anya, they leave on a train filled with fleeing Russian aristocrats and intellectuals, and they all sing this very poignant farewell.
I'll bless my We have shed our tears and shed our sorrows, though the scars remain and tears will never dry. I'll bless my homeland till I die.
Never to return.
Finally breaking free.
All All right, that's Stay, I Pray You. That's the Broadway cast album of Anastasia. It's down at the Hippodrome. So, Judy, tell us about the performances in this touring production. Obviously, the title character, she's supposed to transform herself from waif to royalty all in this period of one evening's entertainment. How about her performance? Is she believable?
She is. On stage, she's a street sweeper, and something is drawing her to Paris. She doesn't know what it is since she lost her memory. The adult Anya, Anastasia, is played by Lila Cogan, and it's a very heartfelt portrayal. She has a beautiful voice. I had one objection, which may be due to direction. The first ballad she sings comes after she has nearly fainted from hunger, and yet she belts that thing out. otherwise...
You would think the breath support might have some, you know, might have been impacted by lack of food, yeah.
But besides that, she's a very sympathetic heroine. The character has got some street smarts, and that comes across. She can be headstrong, but she's also a bit vulnerable. Jason Michael Evans, who plays the new villain, Gleb, is also very strong. He's torn between fulfilling his father's murderous legacy and his own attraction to Anastasia. He sings about this dilemma in a big solo called Still, which is another one of those sort of generic-sounding songs, but he delivers it really powerfully. I have to say I was a little disappointed in Stephen Brower, who plays Dimitri, the young con artist who's Anastasia's tutor and love interest. This actor was in the Broadway company. He understudied Dimitri, but he looks too young for the character. The character should be almost 30. And his voice is a little bit reedy. He didn't quite seem like a leading man to me. I should also mention, Dimitri's backstory has been changed on stage. In the animated movie, he was a former palace servant and, in fact, helped Anastasia escape. On stage, they did away with that storyline, and I think it kind of weakens the character.
So in an animated movie, obviously, Judy, you can do all sorts of effects, right? So how about in the stage play? And there might even be some implicit pressure to have effects on the stage play or the stage musical because people are just sort of, you know, sort of inherently used to it or expecting it.
Well, I think they did away with some of that pressure by eliminating Rasputin, who was up to a lot of dark magic, and so there were a lot of magical effects. When they get rid of that character, they get rid of the need for those. But the set, which is by Alexander Dodge, and especially the projections by Aaron Ryan, are really clever, and they create this ambiance of St. Petersburg and then Paris. Arches are the main design of the set, and they are filled with these projections. Gleb's office, for example, has projections of files that go from the floor to the rafters, sort of nonstop files that suggest just unending bureaucracy. And when Anastasia and Dimitri and Vlad are traveling, there are these large projected maps. The only set element that struck me as a little off was the train car they're in. It's just scaffolding, and it's overcrowded with passengers. And for me, it was a little too much like a cattle car from the next war. But early on, when Anastasia disappears, she just sort of dissolves into this dark, snowy unknown. It's very evocative.
Well, just, the real-life St. Petersburg is one of my favorite places on the planet. I mean, our visit there, Linnell and I went a few years ago, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful place. So just got a few seconds left here. Judy, what do you think? Overall, Anastasia, is this a royal triumph?
Well, I wouldn't go that far, Tom. I am a sucker for this story. I read the play that was the source of the Ingrid Bergman movie when I was in junior high. I have been immersed in Anastasia lately because I'm teaching theater and writing classes to almost 200 middle and high schoolers through the Educational Outreach Hippodrome Foundation. As we speak, Tom, 2,000 school kids are attending the student matinee at the Hippodrome.
Good for them.
But the show has a few plot problems. The change in Dimitri's backstory is a weakness, so is the actor's performance. Adding Gleb was a good idea, but some of the plot about him has holes. Early on, Dimitri tells Vlad, "We're going to create a fairy tale." And that's really what this is. It's a Cinderella story. DNA evidence has proved that Anastasia sadly didn't survive the family's killings, but even with some shortcomings, the show is a kind of engaging what-if.
All right, good to know. Anastasia, it's at the Hippodrome through Sunday. You can find out more information at wypr.org/midday. So next week, we're going to talk about the show at Center Stage, A Wonder in My Soul. Who's written that one?
This is by Marcus Gardley. He has changed the setting of the show to Baltimore, so I'm very much looking forward to seeing
that. A local twist. All right, good to see you, and we'll see you next time. time.
See you then.
That's it for us today. Coming up tomorrow, it's the Midday News Wrap with Domenico Montanaro of NPR and Devlin Barrett of The Washington Post. We'll talk about the Mueller investigation as well as the Senate reaction to the murder of Jamal Khashoggi and other stories on the political landscape. Plus, Sonia Disappear Fear will be here in Studio A. She'll share some tunes from her new CD. Lunch for our guests today was provided by Eddie's of Roland Park, Baltimore's gourmet grocer since 1944. Eddie's of Roland Park offers a selection of local gift baskets and Maryland jumbo lump crab cakes that can be shipped anywhere throughout the United States. Details online at eddiesofrolandpark.com. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great day.